Are we having the same thoughts? What is he doing up there? And I'm thinking, what am I doing up here? Some few weeks ago, James and I were asked to join the elders in a meeting. And we were just discussing different things near the end of the meeting, and one of the things that I mentioned was that perhaps one day on a Sunday evening, perhaps, I'd like to bring the message to the congregation. And so they basically said they'd get back to me on that, I think. But anyway, it wasn't too much longer that Danny said, are you available October 26th, which was pretty close to like 2 weeks for me to study and get prepared. But that's okay. That's plenty of time. By the way, speaking of the elders, if you have a chance, be sure and tell each of these four gentlemen how much you appreciate them for what they do. It is a very difficult job that they have and with an awful lot of responsibility. We should love them for their willingness to serve, and we should tell them that we love them and that we truly appreciate what they do. It takes time away from their family for them to be here at different times to meet and talk about different things, but mostly making sure that this congregation hears God's word in truth, and truth only. So if you get a chance, be sure and tell them how much you appreciate them for what they do. It's been written that whenever the speaker of the hour delivers his message, that the congregation or those in attendance will experience one of three feelings or emotions. Number one, it'll be sad. Number two, it'll be mad. Number three, it'll be glad. So I'm hopeful that tonight's message will be one where you will feel glad. I heard a story from a preacher friend of mine once where he said that this elder was talking to one of the men from the congregation where he was a member, and he said, well, what do you think about our preacher? He's really doing a nice job, don't you think? He said, especially when he talks about heaven. He said, yeah, you know, he talks about heaven a lot. He talks about how wonderful it's going to be, how beautiful it's going to be. He said, but he hadn't told me yet what I got to do to get to heaven. So tonight, I hope that my lesson will be able to tell you and I what we have to do in order to get to heaven. I'm not sure if I should do this, but I have to. Johnny boy, to the rescue. Whatever you do, don't be that guy, okay? I'm sure I'll hear from the elders after this tonight.
We're glad now.
Same room. When you're talking to someone about what you have to do to get to heaven, you want to talk to them with love and kindness and be clear about God's word in truth. Don't be like this guy with vain and, you know, just vanity everywhere. That is completely contrary to God's law. You want to talk to people because you love their soul, and you want to be kind. But above all, you got to be able to teach in truth. So I have put together a 7-point plan, which won't take an hour, I promise you. The first one is here. If you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, each one of my 7 points will be supported by at least one verse. Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear, whether you're reading it or someone talking with you while they're teaching you, something to be able to know what somebody's talking about or what we are talking about when it comes to hearing. The second one is believe. After you've had a chance to think about what you heard and you've had a chance to dwell on what you've heard, then you have to believe. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Next, it's not faith only. James chapter 2 and verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Step number 4, repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So far, we're about halfway through, or a little more than that. We know that you have to hear, you have to believe. It's not just faith only, because we are justified not only by faith, but by works also. So that's 4 steps. And repent. Confess. Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses and before men, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Number 6. Baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, step number 7, remain faithful. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, That is for remaining faithful. So some other religions teach that just faith only. Once saved, always saved. God's word says otherwise. These seven steps that I've just read to you in verses is the plan of salvation. For anyone to go to heaven, they have to be saved. And all seven of these steps have to occur for you to have salvation. If there's anyone here tonight who maybe is not clear on the plan of salvation, maybe there's someone here who's not saved. Maybe there's someone here who would like to request prayers of the church for any reason. And maybe there's some here who might like to, they're looking for a church home. Well, the Crandall Church is a great congregation and a great place to call home. And I am extremely proud and very, very pleased to be a part of this congregation. So if there's anything that this church can do for you, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation.